Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's a love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision, seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Spending my strength to perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turn up for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another India Morello Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Yes, welcome back. I had been off last week. I was down with a serious cold, had me seriously under the weather. Aside from that, going right on into the show, we're going to have a few topics. One would be Melissa Harris Perry quits MSNBC. Another topic would be Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And the other topic will be mass incarceration. Those will be our topics for tonight, and let's see if we will get there. But before I go there, I want to mention that tonight, well, I'm always mentioning the weather because it's still cold outside. But God bless. This is the 28th day of February, and therefore we're going right on into March as of Monday. Tuesday will be the 1st of March. February has 29 days this year. Anyway, well, one March is on Tuesday. Then we have like 20 more days of winter, and then 21 March is spring, so here we go. We're going into there. Yes, we are. Loving it. Waiting for it. Anyway, I'm concerning the weather. Right now it's like 45 degrees here in New York. And mentioning degrees in terms of weather, just on Saturday I was here looking out my window in the morning drinking my coffee, and I happened to have seen some guy walking outside dressed in T-shirts and shorts only. And it was like 25, 29 degrees outside there then. I didn't know that, but I grabbed my phone because the way the weather looked, it looked like it was, well, pleasant outside. Sun was shining. And then I see this guy walking around like I just said. So I quickly grabbed my phone and checked the weather. It said 29 degrees. I said, damn, that just goes to show. You can't gauge the weather by people or some people. And I can tell you, actually, you cannot gauge the weather by me, definitely not, because in 29-degree weather, when I had gone out there on Saturday, I had on my ski mask, I had on my overcoat, and I had on gloves. So if somebody had seen me, they would have figured it must be 3 below. I'm just saying, in other words, all I'm saying is that you can't go by other people when it comes to the weather. You have to test that stuff for yourself. So with that being said, let's go right on into the show and let us talk. Okay, our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And let me say before I start, I am happy as hell to be back. Yes, I am. And to be and feel healthy. Anyway, excuse me. Last week, we had a national situation wherein that Supreme Court Justice Antonio Scalia had passed. And, well, as for myself, I have no grief over racist individuals when they pass. My mindset be good MF and riddance for them. And just saying, it reminded me of when Ronald Reagan had passed way back there. It must have been around 2003 or 4. That's around the time when I was doing drugs and getting high and stuff. But anyway, I had written this in remembrance of that. I had written, it was good riddance. In terms of Ronald Reagan, I'm talking about Antonio Scalia. I feel the same way toward him as well. I wrote, it was good riddance when he left here. I was in the midst of my drug addiction when I was blessed to have seen a newspaper caption, Ronald Reagan dies. It made my day to have read that caption. If I hadn't just happened to have gone into a particular store that day, it's possible I'd not have known of this blessed event until much later. The individuals I hung with then, their thoughts weren't on social and thus political issues. Thus, it is possible I wouldn't have known of that blessed death until much later. Thus, a situation of delayed joy it would have been. Then I wrote, the Lord works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. What I mean by that is that I just happened to have gone in that store on that day at that particular time. And the thing was, the newspaper caption that I read was the day before. And actually, those newspapers should have been out of that store by then. Because if you know, the people who deliver those papers, they come the next day with a new batch of papers to pick up the old papers and drop off the new. So, like I said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. He definitely did on that day to let me know of that blessed event. And then also, I had written here that, as for myself, I love the passing of all racist individuals. Let them all die, 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 die. Therein, my own hand won't have to do the awesome, ugly, but beautiful work of the Lord. And because we have to remember, this guy, excuse me, Anthony Scalia, he's the Supreme Court justice who only recently, a few months ago, if it was a few months ago, argued that black students don't belong in elite colleges. He had said, in 2015, let's be glad that he won't be around here no more talking that nonsense, but excuse me again. He had said that they were, in a real sense, doing themselves a disservice by being in elite white universities because, in a real sense, they didn't belong there because of their slow intellect. He didn't exactly say that, but that's what he was more so saying. In other words, he was saying as well that they belong in a lesser track fast school than in some elite university where they can only be but miserable, not being able to make the grade that they should make primarily because they are the black student is out of his or her element based upon their lack of proper intellect. How MF outrageous. And this guy could be a Supreme Court justice. Just outrageous, outrageous. Anyway, that was that about that guy, Anthony Antonio Scalia. You know, he kind of reminds me also of that other Chief Justice way back in the day when he had put down the ruling that that a white man, no, that a black man has no rights that a black man is bound to respect. Another racist judge from way back then even. And you got to know, I mean, you know, this Antonio Scalia, he thought like that. And he was reputed to have been intelligent. And then again, you have to figure that there are many more who think just like him in this country and at those and at that level of society and power and authority. We have to realize this, or by now it's time for us to at least start acknowledging this and not acting as if it isn't and or can't be so, because it is definitely so. And this is just out MFing rages, just out MFing rages. And again, moving right on out of that issue of him having had passed. On Facebook today, a Facebook friend of mine, this Dr. Stacy Patton, she had written this again in terms of, you know, the racial slights and the racial animosity that we, because of racist people thinking as they think. I'll never say in this day because we are black, because in a real sense we have nothing to do with their thinking. Zero. All that nonsense is in their heads. That's why I am of the firm belief and opinion that racism is a form of insanity. Can it be cured? That's up to the individual with whom racism is all around. That's up to the individual who is afflicted with racism. That's what I'll say, because he or she has to help themselves, can help themselves if they want to help themselves. But aside from that, let me go on and read this thing here that Dr. Stacy Patton had written. She said, I need to talk with my shrink about why I scream inside when I turn my back for a split second in a grocery aisle and somebody puts their sweaty mitt on my cart and aggressively move it out of the way instead of saying, excuse me, so that I can move it myself. Well, I had responded to her statement by saying that I can tell you why you scream inside, because something still unnaturally inhibits you from screaming on him or her who holds you being black in such contempt that they feel perfectly justified in moving you or whatever is with you out of their way. That's what I had written in response to what Dr. Stacy Patton had written. But then also there are other, I have some more statements that other people had responded with. And one Facebook friend of Dr. Patton had asked the question, can you hear them? Because she had her earphones on based upon the photo that she had posted with herself in this grocery store. This Facebook friend had asked her, can you hear them with your earphones on? I'm sure you don't want them to tap their germ-ridden fingers on your shoulders to get your attention. And then Stacy replied, I keep one ear uncovered so I can still hear everything. Excuse me. And even in regards to that, I recall back in the day, excuse me again, I'm this cold that I have. You can hear that I still have it in a sense, but again, God bless, is not as it had been last week. God bless for that. So anyway, I had responded to that because I recall a time, as I was saying, when I used to walk around with earphones in my ear. What I had written was, just a second, I got a cough again. Okay, I'm back. I had written, there was a time when I'd walk around with my earphones plunged deeply in my ears. I felt it was better not hearing the nonsense of those who would do dumb stuff, as you have mentioned, Stacy. When you feel compelled to confront such fools on their nonsense, more than not, they would have something even more verbally nonsensical for a response. So again, I kept my earphones plunged deeply in my ears. Thus, to hear the nonsense of the racist, I react physically, not verbally. But with that being said, we're going to have to go on top of our first music break because it's 15 minutes to the hour. And our first song is going to be from Myla J. Diamond featuring Drake in Future. song called Cover Girl, I do believe. So here we go. Okay, welcome back to India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio production. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard Myla J. and Diamond featuring Drake and Future in a song. It's entitled Cover Girl Mixtape. So I guess it's a mixtape with the song Cover Girl on there. I'm thinking that is what it is. So our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Unless I say, perhaps I say it too quickly, I say it twice. So as I was lastly saying, I was reading something from a Facebook friend of mine, Dr. Stacy Patton, in terms of a supermarket situation that she was relating. And I can relate to that because I've had those also. Praise be, I haven't had one of those in quite a while, where there was a time, all the time, I would have those situations. Indeed, I would. But like I said, someone had asked her the question about if she had her earphones in her ear, you know, because if not, I guess that person thinking logically was thinking that perhaps because the woman or whomever seen her with earphones in her ear, the person figured that she can't hear me anyway, so let me move her cart. But no, Dr. Patton said that she always keeps one ear free to hear what's going on in her surroundings, which is only logical as well. But that's something also that a lot of us, well, not a lot of us, but it's only natural to try and think logically about things that take place or that happen to us. But there are times when logic don't apply to certain things that certain people do to us. And when that's the situation, you have to fall back on whatever, basically, whatever, to deal with that kind of nonsense that defies logic in a real sense. But like I said, though, well me, during those times when I would walk around with my, at that point, a Walkman, therefore earphones, I'd have those things deep in my ear. I mean, because I didn't want to hear nothing. I didn't want to hear nothing because I knew the kind of person that I am, whatever. And interestingly, I always found or did experience that although I had my earphones plunged deeply in my ear and had my music blasted, B-L-A-S-T-E-D blasted, yes, I did, but somehow still, if one of those clowns would be walking up on me, it's not that I heard him, because how could I? No way in heaven could I have heard somebody walking up on me, but still, in that split second, I would happen to turn around. And they would see that I was aware, and they would back the fuck up off me. But I didn't even try to figure out how that was. All I knew that it was. And that's why I would fall back on what Dr. King would say often, that in this struggle, we have cosmic companionship. And in many instances and situations, I experienced that. I mean, it's a long story there that goes into the, I guess, the esoteric and the phenomenon type situations. But anyway, still, there was another reply. Another Facebook friend of Dr. Patton had replied that I'm exactly the same way. Surely, but to keep from losing it, no, she said, I'm exactly the same way, Stacy. But to keep from losing it, I try to make sure I'm strategically placed so they don't touch me or my basket. Plus the fact I am usually immersed in movement from my music. I think folk fear me, which is cool too. Then when folks are in my way, I lose it because they won't move. Or if I say excuse me and they don't acknowledge, I lose it. Then I take my apology out loud. Then I take my apology back out loud. And then she says, I have issues, I guess. But what I found about her statement was the word that she used in her statement, which was strategically. Because, again, when I was going through those kind of things, which I say in this day, I'm not going through that, maybe because I'm in another country. I was in Germany at this point in time, Berlin, Germany, to be exact. But over here, I didn't or don't experience those things as much because primarily I'm not that much in white areas as I was over there, because in Germany there are no black areas. Everywhere you go, you find Germans who are Caucasian, thus therefore white in complexion. But anyway, I had responded to this person by saying, interesting, you too have mentally evolved to use the word strategically in your movements in this existence, basically because of retarded racist individuals. Because I would find that also, that because I was aware of what was going on and also my surroundings, because of what was going on, I would actually place myself strategically wherever I was. If I was waiting for a bus, I evolved to place myself in a strategic spot wherein no one had no business bumping me. And if they did, I had to address that situation. Or if I was waiting for, let's say, the subway, in the subway station underground, again, I would place myself in a strategic spot, location, wherein there's no way that anybody should bump into me or do whatever to me because they shouldn't be in my space. And when they came in my space, well, I had to address them. Anyway, so moving right along, I have this other thing that I wanted to have mentioned, being that I wasn't on last week, but this happened last Sunday, but we can say the week before last, this had taken place. It was some kind of a situation, I believe, that had taken place in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, because this where this guy Quanell X is. It was a situation about how some guy, it doesn't say if he was black, white, Puerto Rican, or whatever. It just don't say. But being that he's in a black area, one would assume that he may have been black. But anyway, it turns out that this guy actually assaulted and then raped an 87 or 90-some-odd-year-old woman. And he escaped. He got away. And then it was said that at a press conference Wednesday afternoon, Quanell X called for the arrest of the suspect and says the alleged assault is an outrage. And then it goes on to say that Quanell X, they have it in quotes here, he said, "We believe he's from this community." And it says that Quanell X says, "Many believe those within the neighborhood know who the man is who assaulted and robbed the elderly woman. He urged for those within the community to not accept this kind of crime." And it goes on, and it has in quotes that Quanell X had said, "If you're smart, the jail is the safest place for you. Because if we find you, you won't need a jail cell. If we find you, you won't rob nobody else's grandmother. We will deal with you where we find you." Now, I read that for two reasons. One reason I read that because I like the response that Quanell X had given to this situation in trying to find this monster who did this to this elderly black woman. 80 something, you know, in her late 80s. If I'm not mistaken, I think I read in another account she was in her early 90s even. And this monster is going to do what he did to her. You know, jail is too good for somebody like death, somebody like that, and death is too quick for somebody like that. Just saying. Well, anyway, so I read that because of that, like in the fact that Quanell X was speaking out about this outrage and how, you know, they want to deal with this guy, or more so telling this guy that it's best that he turn himself in and not let them find him. Because if they find him, as he said, they're going to deal with him where they find him. But another reason why I wanted to have read this out into the show was because, you know, I don't see why it isn't that black leaders respond or would respond in like manner to police personnel who, who without cause just shoots down some unarmed black man, woman, or child. You know, it's a wonder to me that black leaders don't come out like that against, as I said, police officers or any perpetrator of violence that's perpetrated on a black person just because of that person's ill thoughts in his head concerning somebody black. You know, in the sense, I mean, to go a bit into the absurd, thinking about what Quanell X has said in reference to that black guy who did this, and at the same time, this is not said to white perpetrators of violence against black people in black communities. It's almost like it's another rendition of black-on-black crime, we might could say. I mean, as they like to say, we are willing to kill each other, you know, but not willing to take matters in our own hands when it comes to some outsider inflicting harm on any of us. But I'm just saying, I mean, that thought came to my head when I happened to have read what Quanell X was saying in reference to that monster who did what he did to that black woman down there in, I think it is in Texas. Yeah. So anyway, moving right along still, I happen to have come across on Facebook another horrendous situation of this situation here is, just a second, I'm going to make sure that I got my pointer right here. This situation here took place in California somewhere out there in California, and it's about a black couple killed by L.A. police while sleeping in a car. Outrageous. Black couple killed by L.A. police while sleeping in a car. And this the story is dated February 26, 2016. But the actual happening, well, let me read this out here. It says here that a black couple in Inglewood, California, was gunned down by police while sleeping. The incident occurred during the early morning hours of February 21st, which also happens to have been the 51st commemoration of the assassination of Malcolm X, February 21st, 1965. Anyway, it says that Keisha Michael, 31, and Marquinton Sandlin, 32, were out on a date and were likely tired after a night on the town. They decided to park their Chevy Malibu on the side of Manchester Road to get rest. According to NBC4, someone called police because they thought the parked car was suspicious. When police arrived, they ordered Michael and Sandlin to exit the car. But the couple did not respond because they were unconscious. The officers apparently felt threatened by unconscious black people and decided to shoot inside the car. Michael and Sandlin were both killed. Officers initially claimed that the couple was combative and that the woman had a gun in her hand. However, there was never an indication of a gun pointed at the officers. Police who were on the scene were not harmed. The article goes further to say that Michael's sister later said she never owned a gun. Mayor James Butts revealed that the couple was unconscious when police arrived and was unsure how the incident turned violent. The article says that police are very secretive of the events that occurred and have yet to say if the couple refused to exit the vehicle before they were killed. The murder is another incident which proves that some police officers believe that they can violate human rights without consequence. The nation won't be able to move forward on the issue of police brutality and murder until lawmakers hold all police accountable for unprovoked violence on citizens. There are too many incidents of blacks being killed by police who were never a threat to officers or to the public. And the article goes further to say that instead, a father of four and a mother of three are now dead because police officers could not find a way to wake up a couple who had the right to be parked on the side of the road. Again, I'll just say my trademark, out MFing rages. Well, if y'all don't know what that means, is out motherfucking rages. But I try not to curse. Anyway, it's 5 after the hour. We're going to go into our second music break. And right now we're going to hear a song from, well, it's going to have to be another Myra J song called Don't. And it's also from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go.
Don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up. And somebody saw next up. Be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fed up. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fought you over cause you let him. Fuck him, girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, I'm just listening.
Keep it 100, man, ain't no shame. The way he put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So don't.
Okay, welcome back to Indie Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard the song from Myra J entitled Don't from the CoverGirl mixtape. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And before I go further, I'm very much aware, I wanted to mention about my awareness concerning the Oscars that are coming on tonight, if they haven't come on already. I'm just curious as to if any black people did in fact, tune into that function. You know, because it was axed. And I guess I'll say nicely asked if we would kind of, show support toward a kind of boycott type situation of the Oscars. You know, don't let us watching boost up the ratings of that show. Let our lack of participation keep the ratings as low as possible so that they will see that, we can work together. But I guess a lot of black people tuned into that, and I guess a lot of black people also went to it physically. I mean, I just don't get it because nothing was asked of us but to just not tune in. It ain't like we had to do anything physical. But I'm just saying. But then again, I guess I'm only saying. Well, I'm not only saying this because I don't watch that anyway. But I mean, if I did watch it. And if I had heard the call that had gone out, I would be willing to support that. I really would. I just want to put that out there. So, moving right along, but I guess I'll see more posted on that via Facebook and I guess Twitter, and I guess some of the news I might happen to see if I do see it. But anyway, moving right along, I want to go into the Melissa Harris Perry situation, her leaving MSNBC, which I think is, well, to me, well, it's a great loss for me. Because I more so watched her show on a regular than not. The only way I may not have watched her show if I may not have liked what the content of her show might be about on that particular Saturday or Sunday. And I would just say, no, I'm not going to watch it. But on a regular, I would watch her show, and I look forward to watching her show. So it's a great loss to me that she has quit MSNBC, and they made it so that she would quit. I mean, it's probably to MSNBC no loss at all because, you know, it is what it is and isn't what it isn't. But anyway, what I have here says here that MSNBC has parted ways with host Melissa Harris Perry after she complained about preemptions of her weekend program and implied that there was a racial aspect to the cable news network's treatment. Harris Perry refused to appear on her program Saturday morning, telling her co-workers in an email that she felt worthless to NBC-owned network. It's in quotes here, so I guess this is her speaking. I will not be used as a tool for their purposes, wrote Harris Perry, who is African-American. And Melissa further said, it's in quotes, I'm not a token, mammy, or little brown bobblehead. I am not owned by NBC executives or MSNBC. I love our show. I want it back. The rebuke, the article goes further to say that the rebuke has triggered discussions involving the network, Harris Perry, and her representatives about the terms of her departure. Because some feel that, no doubt, because she was under contract, she may be facing legal proceedings for just quitting the way she did. And, you know, well... You know, white folk, I'll put it like that because white folk are in charge there. You know white folk, whatever they can do to us, believe me, they will do, and with alacrity, with the quickness. The article goes further to say that the flat with Harris Perry, who did not respond to a request for comment, follows a strategic transformation of MSNBC that has swept up several of its minority program hosts, specifically the network, has been trying to emphasize breaking news coverage during daytime hours while maintaining a slate of liberal hosts during primetime hours at night. Like its competitors, it has emphasized breaking campaign coverage. It has emphasized breaking campaign coverage, which lately has bumped Harris Perry from her regular spot. And the article goes further to say that all of the changes carry a potential perception risk that MSNBC, known as the most liberal among the three leading cable networks, is diminishing the contributions of its minority personalities, network officials acknowledge. In addition to the issues with Harris Perry, the network's new emphasis on news during the day has led to the demotion of two African-American hosts, the Reverend Al Sharpton and Joy Reid, both of whom have been moved from daily shows to lower-profile weekend slots. At the same time, the network brought back Brian Williams to be its leading daytime news anchor. Williams was suspended by Williams was suspended by NBC and ultimately lost his job as the anchor's NBC's nightly news with Brian Williams last year after he exaggerated the details of his reporting exploits in a series of media appearances. Yeah, I heard about Brian Williams and doing what he did, lying about certain ways he had covered a story. I think he even pulled a Hillary Clinton on us, talking about he had landed somewhere under gunfire, which was a complete absolute lie because they showed the clip. They showed him landed, but they didn't have no gunfire. Outrageous. Anyway, in a statement, MSNBC, wait, I had to still laugh at that one. But anyway, Brian Williams is back on MSNBC. He was fired because he lied about, you know, his journalism. You know, there should be certain ethics, or there are supposedly certain ethics in journalism. And he stomped on the journalistic ethics and just lied about one of his news coverages. Outrageous. Anyway, it says in a statement, MSNBC spokesman Mark Kornblau said, it don't matter what he said, but I'll read it anyway. He said, "We are proud of the diverse backgrounds and viewpoints of our journalists, opinion hosts, and analysts. We would gladly put that up against everyone else in the news business." That MF, he done fired Melissa Harris Perry. Well, she quit, but then again, he upheld her resignation and even said that it was, he even said some more stuff later on. If not him, one of his people up there in the top echelon of that news network. And the article goes further to say that MSNBC executives said they were surprised by Harris Perry's blast on Friday, and that it may have stemmed from her perception, incorrect at the time, but now a reality, that her weekend program was about to be canceled. She's a brilliant, now this is what one of those clowns was saying, one of those MSNBC executives. Typical thing that they do say about black people, when black people are, you know, forthright and opinionated, and who, you know, don't take no nonsense. This guy says she's a brilliant, intelligent, well, he says she's a brilliant, intelligent, but challenging and unpredictable personality. And, well, that's what he said. I got to read that again because that's just how they sound when they're trashing us. She's a brilliant, intelligent, but challenging and unpredictable personality. It's outrageous. Anyway, he added, it's highly unlikely she will continue at MSNBC. Her email is destructive to our relationship. Imagine that shit. And it goes further to say a bit of Melissa Harris Perry's background. It says Harris Perry, a professor at Wake Forest University, joined MSNBC 4 years ago. Professor at Wake Forest University. An article goes further to say that in her email to her colleagues, and I have that email, and I want to read that to the show later on. It says, her email to her colleagues, Harris Perry, wrote, "Here is the reality. Our show was taken without comment or discussion or notice in the midst of an election season. After 4 years of building an audience, developing a brand, and developing trust with our viewers, we were effectively and utterly silenced." And it says, in a follow-up phone interview with Times, Harris Perry softened the racial aspect of her criticism, saying, "I don't know if there is a personal racial component. I don't think anyone is doing something mean to me because I'm a black person, you see?" That's, we have to get over that nonsense, thinking like that. Well, then again, like I said earlier, I had said that I, in this day and for a long time, refuse to delay the situation that I or we face in this country on my or our blackness. The onus is not on me, nor is it on our blackness. The onus is on the mind of that person who has a problem with our blackness. That's where the problem is. So let me make sure I'm trying not to overtalk the music break like I did the last time I was on. I got caught up, but I was on a roll, not on a rant, but I was on a roll. So we still have time to go into another article. But also, something else concerning the Melissa Harris Perry situation. Well, not necessarily the situation, but something else concerning Melissa Harris Perry. I recall last week I was watching her show, and she was there. And no, it wasn't on her show that I had heard about this. I had read about this through some internet newspaper, no doubt, that I got via Facebook. And it talked about how Melissa Harris Perry and one of her colleagues were sitting down, and some white guy came up to the table, to their table, acting all strange and talking something about, you know, how he don't want to kill her, he don't want to hurt her, and stuff like that. And then at that point, it was said that her and her friend, you know, they got, you know, like vocal, because that's the kind of person I guess we could say Melissa Harris Paris is. I don't think that she's the afraid type. You know, she's brave in her own way. I will give her that. She's brave in her own way and controversial in her own way. I give her that. That's why I liked her show. But anyway, because this guy just came over to where she and her colleague were sitting and just began to, like, you know, threaten her in a real sense, or act threateningly toward her, until, you know, her and her friend, you know, got vocally verbal, or verbally vocal and loud, and it made the guy, you know, run away. But however, this guy was never found. As to who he was, no one knows still, or it's not being said who this clown was. And then, you know, that happened over last week, and then now, you know, Melissa Harris Perry has quit the show. I mean, you know, coincidence? Who knows? But also, going still further into this situation with Melissa Harris Perry, I want to read into the program something that my Facebook friend Stacy Patton had also written. She had written that I woke up this. She said I woke up thinking about MSNBC's announcement that the network will be severing ties with Melissa Harris Perry. This news makes me sad and annoyed, but not the least bit surprised. And she goes on to say that since so much of the news is about creating the news, we have been left with a culture that has produced a space where truth is not a priority. And I can very much relate to that. All right, let me bring up that. I don't like bringing him up. I don't like saying that. That Justice Scalia character. Anyway, after he had died, you know, because President Obama is the president, it's upon him to appoint the next Chief Justice. And all of a sudden, you know, the Republicans are talking about, no, this is not going to happen. And they've been talking about, you know, there is a precedent wherein the president shouldn't appoint a Chief Justice during an election cycle. Now, concerning what Dr. Stacey Patton there had just said about how the news, let me get that part straight. She said that since so much of the news is about creating the news, this is what the news services have done. They have created some news by not reporting factual news, such as that what the Republicans are talking about, that's not any precedent. That's not any precedent that presidents have never elected or also appointed a chief justice during an election cycle. That's an outright lie. But yet our news cycle, our media personalities or so-called journalists in the media, they act like they don't know that that's not true. They act like that they don't know what the Constitution does in fact state, because if they did know, they would be reporting it like what the Republicans are saying is not true. This is not there is no precedent wherein a sitting president did not appoint a chief justice after a chief justice has passed away. But no, they're not telling us this. They're more so leaning into what the Republicans are saying. They're feeding into what the Republicans are saying, or more so what the Republicans are saying, and not even feeding into the truth. How MFing rages. That's why I don't like watching the news. It's just something else. But Dr. Patton put it right on when she said that the news media creates news. They don't report the news. And then truth is not a priority for them. So, and Dr. Patton says also that when someone like Melissa Harris Perry comes along featuring hard-edged content on race and social justice while showcasing the voices of people of color and progressive whites, that effectively disrupts the racist media narrative that a racist society requires. Then the silencing ensues. That's how white supremacy works, Dr. Patton says, which is most true. And then Dr. Patton goes further to say, what ticks me off is that as soon as Melissa Harris Perry raised her voice and told MSNBC that she ain't no mammy or brown bobblehead, and that she is not owned by network, not owned by the network, then she had to be cut loose. And then she goes on to speak about Brian Williams. Meanwhile, Brian, I was there lying ass Williams, like many other lying, plagiarist white reporters before him, could make shit up and then return to the network like it never happened. Out in effing rages. So, with that being said, we're going to come back to Dr. Patton's article after our next music break. And right now, we're going to go into another song. Let me see what I might have here for us to listen to. We're going to hear a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. So here we go.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull out some tricks. And I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden gloves, the Midas touch. Loving like, ooh, he know I can never get enough. My favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want the ordinary love, oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough, now he's mine. He ain't falling, stand up loving me the way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't falling, stand up loving me the way. And I know to make him feel some type of way.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted.
Okay, welcome back to Andy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. That was Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in. We'd like to talk to you or listen to you, hear what you have to say. Anyway, so back to this article here that Dr. Stacey Patton had just shot off this morning, so to speak, or just composed this morning. I'd rather say it like that, composed this morning, as opposed to shot off this morning. Anyway, we have to think as we speak or think before we speak, or both think as we're speaking and think before we speak. Anyway, Dr. Stacey Patton further went on to say, that and while there's all this critique about a black woman standing her ground, folks are talking about how she should have known her place on this high-tech plantation. Not a single solitary person is saying, what a shame about Brian Williams lying that way. Clearly we need to rethink all these white guys we're hiring. Look at the problems they're causing in the newsroom. They're obviously not qualified for these jobs. They're lowering the ethical standards of journalism. But yet, as she's saying, nobody said that about Brian Williams and those other clowns whom she mentioned. And then she went further to say that, like me, I consistently watch Melissa Harris Perry's show and love seeing so many talented academics, journalists, pundits, and other intellectuals of color break down important issues of concern in ways that we don't get elsewhere. Media Matters has shown that an average of 75 to 80% of the Sunday guest appearances on major networks are white people. Melissa Harris Perry single-handedly featured more guests of color than all the other cable networks, including the other shows on MSNBC. Dr. Patton went further to say that, as a journalist who left a nearly all-white newsroom last August, I can tell you that bringing voices, perspectives, and experiences of people of color into the fold takes constant work. You have to do extra layers of work to argue that our lives and concerns are newsworthy in the first place. Okay, there's more to her article. More so, there's more to her article, but I'm not going to read it all anyway. I'm skipping through it as I am. But the whole article is, in fact, on Facebook, and it's well worth reading. It actually is. Okay, now I'm going to go on, and I'm going to read what Melissa Harris Perry said in her email. Okay, so here we go. She has a thing about calling a lot of her listeners nerds. I don't know why she does that, but she has a segment on her show that she called Nerdland. Interesting. Anyway, she says, as you know by now, my name appears on the weekend schedule for MSNBC programming from South Carolina this Saturday and Sunday. I appreciate that many of you responded to this development with relief and enthusiasm. To know that you have missed working with me even a fraction of how much I missed working with all of you is deeply moving. However, as of this morning, I do not have any intention of hosting this weekend. Because this is a decision that affects all of you, I wanted to take a moment to explain my reasoning. Some unknown decision maker, presumably Alan Lack or Phil Griffin, had added my name to this spreadsheet, but nothing has changed in the posture of MSNBC leadership team towards me or toward our show. Putting me on air seems to be a decision being made solely to save face because there's a growing chorus of questions from our viewers about my notable absence from MSNBC coverage. Social media has noted the dramatic change in editorial tone and racial composition of MSNBC's on-air coverage. In addition, Dylan Byers of CNN has made repeated inquiries with MSNBC's leadership and with me about the show and what appears to be its cancellation. I have not responded to reporters or social media inquiries. However, I am not willing to appear on air in order to quell concerns about the disappearance of our show and our voice. She goes further to write, here is the reality. Our show was taken without comment or discussion or notice. In the midst of an election year, after 4 years of building an audience, developing a brand, and developing trust with our viewers, we were effectively and utterly silenced. Now, MSNBC would like me to appear for 4 inconsequential hours to read news that they deem relevant without returning to our team any of the editorial control and authority that makes Melissa Harris Perry show distinctive. The purpose of this decision, the purpose of this decision seems to be to provide cover for MSNBC, not to provide voice for Melissa Harris Perry show. I will not be used as a tool for their purposes. I am not a token, mammy, or little brown bobblehead. I am not owned by Lack Griffin or MSNBC. I love our show. I want it back. I have wept more tears than I can count, and I find this deeply painful, but I don't want back on air at any cost. I am unwilling to return when that return happens under certain terms. Undoubtedly, television nurtures the egos of those of us who find ourselves in front of bright lights and big cameras. I am sure ego is informing my own pain in this moment, but there is a level of professional decency, respect, and communication that has been denied this show for years. And the utter insulting absurdity of the past few weeks exceeds anything I can countenance. I have stayed in the same hotels where MSNBC has been broadcasting in Iowa, in New Hampshire, and in South Carolina. Yet, I have been shut out from coverage. I have a PhD in political science and have taught American voting and elections at some of the nation's top universities for nearly two decades. Yet, I have been deemed less worthy to weigh in than relative novices and certified liars. I have hosted a weekly program on this network for 4 years and contributed to election coverage on this network for nearly 8 years. But no one on the third floor has even returned an email, called me, or initiated or responded to any communication of any kind from me for nearly a month. It is profoundly hurtful to realize that I work for people who find my considerable expertise and editorial judgment valueless to the coverage they are creating. While MSNBC may believe that I am worthless, I know better. I know who I am. I know why Melissa Harris Parry's show is unique and valuable. I will not sell short myself or this show. I'm not hungry for empty airtime. I care only about substantive, meaningful, and autonomous work. When we can do that, I will return. Not a moment earlier. I am deeply sorry for the ways that this decision makes life harder for all of you. You mean more to me than you can imagine. Yours always, Melissa. So that was the email that she had written. And that's why that other guy, as I had read earlier in the show, he was talking about how she was intelligent but abrasive, or something like that. He had said difficult, strong-headed. He didn't say those words, but basically that's what he was saying. Outrageous. But that was Melissa. And, I'm going to miss her show. I certainly am going to miss her show. And I had another article here, too, that I want to read about the Melissa Harris Parry parting, but I'm not going to go there because I'm going to go on into the Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders situation. It already appears I'm not going to get into the mass incarceration issue tonight, but there's always next week, you know, and more things are bound to happen between this time and that time anyway. But before I go into the Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton situation, I want to also mention that, as I said earlier, you know, I was ill last week, all week, matter of fact, and I have a suspicion that depression may have helped bring my illness on. I mean, depression about having heard about the Flint, Michigan situation and the poisoning of the people there through the water system. Out MF outrageous. I mean that took a toll on me. Yes, it did. I mean, I haven't been the same in a real sense since that happened. At least I can kind of chuckle at that, but there's nothing funny about that, you know. But you know, that kind of threw me down, took me for a loop, and it kind of reminded me of what is that? It is Star Wars. When they're up in that ship somehow, some way, and out there in space. And supposedly, some planet somewhere has just been obliterated and has been annihilated, disappeared, is out of existence. And that guy, he says that, like, he felt the loss of that planet, You know how they whatever. And you know, I can relate to that because that's how the situation there in Flint, Michigan hit me. Just like it was when the first of the towers had fell and I saw it fall. And it was like, you know, I know that I knew no one in that building as far as I knew, but somehow I had experienced a sensation of loss when that building had fell and knowing that there were a lot of people still in that building. Just saying. So anyway, well, the Flint, Michigan situation, I mean, it added to my depression. And then when Bernie Sanders lost to Hillary Clinton in Nevada, that also added to my depression. And before I knew it, the cold, the virus, whatever that was, it just hit me hard. I mean, because I was so depressed, you know, my natural defenses were weakened. And therefore, the onslaught of the cold was able to invade me and, well, knock me down. It took me out for a while, but I'm back, you know. I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, concerning Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, because I find that I'm more so for him than not. I wasn't aware of that initially because, to me, I hadn't really heard I hadn't really heard him say anything, but I would see him because I would have my TV down. I would have it on mute often when I look at it. Long story there. Anyway, I would see him and I would just think, well, he's just another old white man, you know, running for a political office and happens to be the presidency. But then my TV wasn't on mute one day, and I began to hear him. And one thing I realized, if nothing else about him, was he has a certain authenticity in his voice. He has not only authenticity in his voice, but he speaks with conviction. And to me, that's something that Hillary Clinton can never muster, because she don't have any of that. She don't have any authenticity about her, nor does she have any convictions about her. She's one who just blows in the wind. Whichever way the wind goes and money is blowing, that's where she's going. Long story there. But anyway, talking about that like that, I'm also reminded of that black guy, that congressman, John Lewis, the one who has serious civil rights stature as someone who was there. As someone who had spoken at the March on Washington, and as someone who had been beaten on the Edmund Pettus Bridge during what came to be known as Bloody Sunday. He was there. And when I had heard him say via video on the news about Bernie Sanders that he never saw Bernie Sanders at the March on Washington, as if he saw everybody else there but Bernie Sanders at the March on Washington. And understand, he's seen everybody else there but Bernie Sanders. Of the millions who were there, he's seen every single person that made up a million except Bernie Sanders, to let him tell it. But anyway, he came out and said that, but only because he was backing Hillary Clinton. That's the only reason why he came out and said some nonsense like that. But then again, he neglected to mention that he didn't see Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton there either. Because the very next day, I happened to have seen on News 1, the show that Roland Martin does, and Roland Martin brought it out that in 1963, Hillary Clinton was a Goldwater girl. Barry Goldwater, arch conservative, one who had planned, if he had been president, to roll back, turn back all civil rights activity and gains. Hillary was in support of this idiot, that clown, a serious racist. So you can help but put two and three together and get five. If she's supporting a racist, she herself must be a racist. And the thing is, if she was a racist then, more than likely she's a racist now, undercover though she may be. Because, just saying, I happened to hear one of her initial speeches when she had announced that she was running for the presidency of this country. And I couldn't help but notice that with Hillary Clinton, if you listen to her, she has difficulty mentioning black people. Yes, she does. If you ever happen to pick up on that, because when she is mentioning things about this country and about things that are wrong in this country and with certain segments of the population with which things are wrong in this country, she has a habit of mentioning everybody else in black last. She'll mention gays. She'll mention the handicapped. She'll mention women. And then she'll mention people of color. Actually, or maybe she might say African-American, but more so than not, she'll say people of color. But last. Never first, but last. So I can't help but pick up on that and say that Hillary Clinton, she has a problem mentioning black people. And I think that's highly suspect. Then again, too, it's unfortunate, but she even got the black vote in South Carolina. And I'm just glad that my cold is over and that I'll put it this way, I'm glad that my immune system is built back up to have withstood that onslaught of having heard that Hillary Clinton won out over Bernie Sanders in South Carolina and the black vote. Black people actually voted for her over Bernie Sanders? All right. Well, but then again, John Lewis and his ilk, his clique, even that guy, what's his name, Jim Clyburn. He's a big wig down there, so to speak, in South Carolina. He's a protege, well, not necessarily a protege of Obama, but he's in tight with President Obama as well. And I'm just saying, I can say now that whenever I saw him, he gave me an impression of somebody who can't be trusted. He always gave me that impression, somebody who's sneaky. That this Jim Clyburn person. Yes, he does, and yes, he did. And then now he's going to go and support Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. Outrageous, just outrageous. And then again, concerning the Clintons, what have they done for black people that's beneficial? N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing. If anything, they did nothing but harm to black people in a real sense. Because, matter of fact, Michelle Alexander, she had written a piece. Oh, wait a minute. I might have to go into a music break quickly. Yes, I almost talked over that, but then again, I did. But anyway, we're going to go into another music break right now, and this is going to be from another one from Myla J. This is entitled Friends, again, from the CoverGirl mixtape. This is Myla J., her song entitled Friends. We'll be right back.
Playing it cool, you were playing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the obvious, but you guessed it. Yeah, I gotcha. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'll be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother hoes was about shit, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
Bitches, now you wishing you was with me, living life so chill. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it. stupid. And it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless. And now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please. Ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Okay, welcome back to N.D. Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we just heard a song, another song from Myla J., cute song, entitled Friends. That was Myla J., her song entitled Friends, on what's called the CoverGirl mixtape. So, back to the situation of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Anyway, there was something else that I had written here last week via Facebook in reference to what John Lewis has said. Oh, and he's still there also with a throng of other black people, black adults standing around him. And we can only but imagine that they, too, were in support of Hillary Clinton. Outrageous. Just outrageous. Anyway, I had written this here, no doubt, because Hillary Clinton, no doubt, says something about somebody not having a conscience and no empathy. But anyway, I had written that Hillary Clinton has a nerve to be talking about someone with no conscience and no empathy. Yet, as it said, it takes one to know one. But to stop right there, you know, talking about no conscience and no empathy, when it came to her, in a real sense, authorizing the murder of Muammar Gaddafi, she had no conscience and no empathy at all. Zero. And he was the head of state. President of Libya, if that's what he had called himself, I forget right now, but he was the head of state in Libya. And Hillary Clinton, through our government, authorized his assassination. And not only authorized his assassination, but had his own people do it. Because there were no Americans around Colonel Gaddafi when he was killed, the way he was killed, and he was killed viciously too. Anyway, as I said here, it says Hillary Clinton has nerve to be talking about someone with no conscience, no empathy. Yet as it said, it takes one to know one. Listen to Bernie Sanders though. This is the guy, the Honorable John Lewis, the guy who had been ousted from the SNCC organization, says he never saw at the March on Washington or any other major civil rights disobedience event. Concerning the Honorable John Lewis not having seen Bernie Sanders at any major civil rights event, I wonder if he might recall having seen or not seen James Cheney, Andrew Goodman, or Michael Shaverner. Those are the three civil rights workers who were killed in Mississippi simply because they were trying to register blacks to vote in that state and in an area of that state. They were murdered because they were trying to engage in what was called trying to engage the people in that area in voter registration. So I go further and I ask the question, what does the Honorable John Lewis really mean in saying he never saw Bernie Sanders at any of the major civil rights events? Basically, it's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. Lewis is obviously a Hillary Clintonite, that is a Hillary Clintonite, someone who's a super supporter of her. He says anything in hope of getting her elected. Well, I said he'll say anything in hope of getting her elected. And then one of my Facebook friends had responded with, Lewis was the speaker that day. Bernie was in the crowd. Like he might have really seen him. Anyway, then I said, I had responded, that speech of his should be made available so we'd see not much has changed with him. And then this person has said that I have met him several times. His district is next to mine. He is genuine. You can Google the speech. In fact, as head of SNCC, he was more militant than MLK. That's what she said. I guess she may have read that somewhere. But as to its authenticity, that's subject to proof. Anyway, it goes further to say, well, what I had said there, I don't know, you may not have heard that, but that Facebook friend of mine had said that I have met him several times. His district is next to mine. He is genuine. You can Google the speech. In fact, as head of SNCC, he was more militant than MLK. And what I had said, that may be correct, but then again, that is subject to proof. And what I had written back to her was, he may have been more militant than Dr. King, which I doubt, but he wasn't more militant than the rank and file of the organization to which he was the then head of. Because John Lewis, as I've said before on the show, he at one point was the head of the SNCC organization, which was the acronym for Nonviolent Student Coordinating Committee. John Lewis was the head of that, but he was ousted from that position because, to the rank and file, he wasn't radical enough. In his place stepped in people like H. Rat Brown and Stokely Carmichael, a.k.a. Kwame Ture. Stokely Carmichael is now deceased. He left his country, sought political exile in Ghana, and he died in Ghana. And H. Rat Brown is currently in prison. And John Lewis, he's in Congress. So you do the math. Anyway, I had further written that France Fanon iterated being aware of the likes of a John Lewis. Ever wanting to harken back to the past of supposed battles won in the struggle for our rights, when we're still fighting for the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm simply not a John Lewis fan. Why is he here anyway? The Edmund Pettus Bridge is still named the Edmund Pettus Bridge after some Confederate officer. We got about 30 seconds left. I was told we got about 60 seconds left. So with that, I'm going to go on and take us out with a song. And this song is from our producer, Indy Morrell, You Don't Deserve Me. So here we go. A nice song.
You.